word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 9, verses 51 to 62. Please turn to page 108 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Israel, which was a unified country at the time of King David, became divided by the north and south at the time of King Rehoboam after King Solomon's death. At year 722 BC, northern Israel fell to the Assyria Empire. But south Judah continued to exist for 136 more years, until it fell to the Babylonia Empire, which was the former Assyria Empire, in the year 586 BC. South Judah was invaded by Babylonia over three occasions. In the year 605 BC, the Babylonia Empire waged a great war against Egypt at Carchemish and earned a great victory. At the time, Judah belonged to Egypt's side. The Babylonia Empire took advantage of its victory against Egypt and invaded Judah and made it its subject nation. This was the first invasion into Judah. Babylonia's king, Nebuchadnezzar, when returning to the capital city of Babylon after the state's invasion into Judah, brought with him countless war prisoners, and among them were Daniel and his three friends. Daniel lived more than 70 years in Babylon and died there. The reason the king took with him young men such as Daniel from Judah to Babylon was to teach them the language of Babylonia and their teachings for 3 years in order to make them serve the king. This is why the young men were provided with the best living quarters and the best food. But at the time, Daniel made a request to the chief of the eunuch. Daniel's chapter 1, verses 8 to 9 say, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs." The king's food is seen to have been meat that was banned by God's law, or food that was offered to the idols of Babylon. Also, as Daniel's pledge not to drink wine was a pledge by Nazarites not to drink wine and liquor and serve God with a clear mind, So Daniel appears to have wanted to serve God properly in a right manner, despite him being in a foreign country and at a foreigner's palace. At the time, Daniel was a teenager around the age of 15. This is a tough age and a time in life of defiance. However, Daniel lived his life facing God. The book of Daniel is comprised of 12 chapters. However, they're not in the order of time. If the chapters were to be arranged in chronological order, chapter 6 should be the last part after chapters 11 and 12. The time was when almost 70 years had passed since Daniel was brought to Babylon. During the time, the Babylon Empire became the Persian Empire, and the king changed multiple times. Yet, Daniel still served as prime minister. This was in a foreigner's land, an enemy country. And this wasn't because the people around him liked him. Actually, it was the opposite. Daniel's opponents always looked for faults to use against him, but they were not able to find any. The only way to bring Daniel down was to break his relationship with the God he served. So other provincial rulers and high-level officials made a report and took it to King Darius and remonstrated and got the king's signature. The report said, "If one seeks anything from any other god or person other than the king, for the next 30 days, one will be put in the lion's den." Still, Daniel's faithfulness remained the same. Daniel's chapter 6, verse 10 says, "When Daniel knew that the document he had signed had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." Daniel was not unaware that the document had been signed by the king. This means he was fully aware of what would happen when he violated the terms in the document. Still, he went back to his quarters and went upstairs and knelt before the window facing Jerusalem. Jerusalem was Daniel's hometown and a place with a sanctuary where he could meet God. So the window was not just a window, but a window that enabled him to meet God, who had met him and led him. It was also a window of devotion and resolution. And as he prayed 3 times every day, his kneeling before God that day was an expression of gratitude for God's guidance in his life and an expression of resolution that he would face God even if he became food for lions. Daniel's life and faith became a stepping stone and signpost for the descendants of Judah when they returned to their home country after finishing their lives as war prisoners. As Daniel looked out the window facing Jerusalem and knelt before it to face God, and made his resolutions, Jesus did the same. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 says, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. As I mentioned last week, chapter 9, verse 51 to chapter 19 tells about Jesus' final 6 months of ministry in his public life. The ministries that took place from Galilee in northern Israel to southern Jerusalem. At the end of these ministries was Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension. Because Jesus is God, it was only natural that he rise from the dead and ascend to the heavens. However, this process was not easy even for Jesus. If Jesus' death was simply a personal incident, he may have accepted it with composure like people who face their death with courage. However, Jesus' death was not only for the people at that time, but also for those who lived before then and people who live after then. Jesus' death was the atonement for the entire humanity from the past, present, and future. So Jesus needed to make a resolution as he headed toward Jerusalem. Verse 51 says, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. From Jesus setting his face toward Jerusalem, we can see his suffering, his death on the cross, and his resurrection and ascension. There were many people who accompanied Jesus when he headed to Jerusalem. There was a diverse range of people, including his 12 disciples as well as female disciples and people who were sent to propagate about Jesus. Jesus sent an advance team to a village in Samaria, which was en route to Jerusalem. But the village people rejected the team, so he was on his way to a different village. At the time, a person came up to Jesus and said, verse 57 says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. From the statement, this person appears to be very devotional. But Jesus saw this person's intent and said, in verse 58, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was saying to this person, you think that this position ensures a comfortable life, acknowledgement, and authority? It is the opposite. When reading the Bible, there are times when I'm touched by verses that I passed, verses that most Christians do not give attention to, verses that have not been underlined. God chose David as king to follow Saul and anointed him through the prophet Samuel. But God's way of training David as king was not having him take classes at the palace, but making him on the run in the hills and mountains. David was loyal to King Saul as his servant, but King Saul became jealous of David's growing popularity and tried to kill him. So he tried to capture David with 3,000 soldiers. What made the circumstances even more difficult for David was the fact that the person who wanted to kill him was not only his master, but also his father-in-law. When King Saul was sleeping at the desert of Zip, the people with David proposed that they kill King Saul. However, David woke King Saul from afar after getting his water bottle and spear. He said, "Did you come to catch a quail? Did you come to catch a flea? God put the king in my hand, but I did not do anything." David said to King Saul. He meant compared to the king, he was only a bird or an insect, and he was questioning why the king was so intent on killing him. But the Bible records the two people parting as the following. 1 Samuel verse 26 says, "Then Saul said to David, 'Blessed be you, my son David. You will do many things and will succeed in them.' So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place." The two people parted, and King Saul went back to his palace. But David did not have anywhere to go. David served God faithfully and was also loyal to his master as servant, but he didn't have a place to stay. Among the miracles performed by Jesus, the one recorded in all of the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the miracle of the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that fed at least 5,000 men. The people who were there were so impressed and shocked that they wanted to make Jesus king. They probably thought, if that person became our king, we wouldn't have to worry about our food, clothing, or housing. John chapter 6, verse 15 tells us about what Jesus did at the time. "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself." Jesus went back to the mountain. This was not because he liked to go hiking. People thought this person would be able to take care of their daily needs. But Jesus himself did not have a house or a place to stay, so he went to the mountain. John chapter 7 tells that there was a controversy between Jesus and the Jews over Jesus being the Messiah. John chapter 7, verse 53, and chapter 8, verse 1, tells of the scene after the dispute was over. They went each to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. The people had homes to return to, but Jesus, who is Messiah, did not have a home to return to. Skipping meals to lose weight or skipping meals due to work-related matters is entirely different from skipping meals because one has no money or has nothing to eat, despite being hungry. Going on a trip and setting up a tent by a stream and spending a few days there and living in a tent because of absolute poverty is not the same. Jesus lived without a place to stay due to the latter reason. Jesus grants us with blessings when we follow him and obey his words. However, the blessings are not those of which we can enjoy. The blessings are those of which we can enjoy eternal life and those that the world cannot give us. They're not about attaining visible conditions such as a comfortable life, acknowledgement, or authority. Jesus says it is not right for people to come to Jesus for one's own ambitions, to achieve one's goal. Jesus, who was headed to Jerusalem, called a person. He said, "Follow me." But the person said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." This person, who Jesus called, requests that he be allowed to follow him after burying his father. However, Jesus' response baffles us. Verse 60 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.'" Jesus' words appear to go against common morality. Even in Korea today, funerals take priority in all circumstances. However important a meeting may be, one's father's funeral cannot be abandoned for it. Also, when a hearse passes, other vehicles make way. The Jews also regarded funerals as important. However, this verse can be misunderstood if one does not understand the customs of the Jews at the time. This is something I once read. There was a person who accepted the gospel through a missionary who served in the Middle East. The person's household was wealthy, and he was an intelligent young man. The missionary advised that the young man travel to Europe to broaden his views after he graduated school. The young man said, "I first need to take care of my father's funeral." The missionary expressed his condolences, stating he did not know about the young man's father passing away. However, the man said his father is still alive. What he meant was that he couldn't leave his home before his father passed away, and he wasn't able to know when this would be. So this was just an idiomatic expression that served as an excuse. In the past, we also used funerals as an convenient excuse. Breadwinners of the family didn't always return home late due to work. Sometimes, people would call home with an excuse to hang out longer with friends or colleagues. "My manager's mother passed away, and there aren't many family members to help out. So I think I'll be late today," they would say. By no means did they pass away. In fact, they were so well that the daughters-in-law suffered. Sometimes people would say the same person passed away more than once, and at other times they would resurrect someone after stating they passed away. There is one more important reason why this person says he will follow Jesus after burying his father. It was because of his inheritance. This person asking Jesus to let him bury his father actually meant he wanted to receive his inheritance first before following Jesus. He probably thought that he would be treated better and that he could earn a better position if he owned something. Afterward, Jesus called upon another person. Verse 61 says, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those that have my home." He asked that he would be allowed to say goodbye to his family. This is how Jesus responded. Verse 62 says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This does not literally mean that one cannot say goodbye to one's family. When a farmer plows his field, if one looks back, the furrows cannot turn out straight. If a farmer wants to plow his field in straight lines, he should face the front. This means that the farmer should focus on one unmoving spot in front of him to get straight furrows. When making important decisions in our lives of faith, there are times when we need to make those decisions between ourselves and God. When we consider other people, it could be difficult to make the right decision. At such times, we must consider God and not others. The three people in today's passage, one person who volunteered to become a disciple of Jesus and two others that Jesus called upon, did not face God, whom they should have faced, but rather cared about worldly values, themselves, and other people. So they weren't able to follow God. Today is a meaningful Sunday that marks the 13th anniversary of the establishment of our church. I would like to tell you about the three things we should fix our attention to, unlike the people in the passage today. First is fixing our attention to God through the collective ministry the church is preparing for. The people who sought to follow Jesus had desires for the honor of following Jesus, or to be elevated to a position in the case Jesus became King of Jerusalem. As Pastor Lee Jachar mentioned on May 14th last year, the reason our church decided to begin a collective ministry is because our church needs to serve in more areas than other churches. The system is also a means to prevent the church from being swayed by a single pastor. Furthermore, the system is for pastors who are part of the collective ministry to better serve the church by taking on each of their respective roles as well as the collective role with a heart of bearing the cross. It is to enable the church, which should follow God's guidance, to be a church, and for the church to fix their attention to God. Second, the congregation needs to fix their attention to God by becoming the lower branches of the tree. person who said he would follow Jesus after burying his father probably thought that he would be a noteworthy disciple or be above others had he owned some inheritance. But what God wants is not a life of upper branches, but lower branches. However, being the lower branches does not relate to how long one has led a life of faith. The lower branches of a tree should be stronger than the upper ones to be able to support them. Even if one wishes to live a life as lower branches, one cannot do so without growth and maturity. Within our families, when brothers or sisters fight, the parents always tell the older sibling to be the bigger person. This is because the older sibling is the lower branch compared to the younger one. If the parents tell the younger sibling to be the bigger person, then it would mean the older one has some kind of problem. If at the church I'm serving others at a place that is not visible, then I'm serving as a lower branch. And if I wish to stand out, I would be wanting to be the upper branch. Flowers blossom and fruit is produced on the upper branches that are supported by strong lower branches. If flowers are blossoming and fruit is being produced in your life of faith, then it means someone is serving as your lower branch. Also, seeing flowers blossom and fruit being produced on the upper branches is a blessing granted only to the lower branches. Third is fixing our attention to God by establishing the church according to the Articles of Association. The person who said that he would follow Jesus after saying goodbye to his family was too conscious of his family and other people to be able to fix his attention to God. Our church has been maintained according to the church's Articles of Association since it was established in 2005. At the time, this was not the norm for Korean churches. Many Korean churches at the time employed vision statements that churches in the U.S. had. So the Korean churches would set about five core values that the church regarded as important. However, the vision statement soon started being abandoned. This was because the vision statements were like a slogan that only played a role during a certain period, like election slogans do during the election campaigning period. So the vision statement of churches eventually disappeared when a new pastor came to the church. However, articles of association are different. Because they are like the law, they remain effective until they are discarded. And each article states how we should fix our attention to God. So as long as the articles are respected, the church is able to remain a proper church. The reason God planted our church at Yanghwajin 13 years ago with all his heart and sincerity was to have us succeed the faith of the forefathers of faith and to use us to make a road for the future of churches in Korea. It was only God's grace that enabled the church to carry out this role for the past 13 years. Let us make today another starting point and take one step at a time toward the future of Korean churches with our attention fixed on the Lord, who set his face toward Jerusalem, looking toward his resurrection and ascension. Then will the 100th anniversary Memorial Church become the stepping stones and signposts God placed on each corner, heading toward the future of Korean churches, and God will make anew the Korean churches through our church. Let us pray. Father God, Daniel lived facing God even during his teens when he was brought to Babylonia as a war prisoner, and continued to live his life facing God after the age of 80. So he was able to live without eating the food of the king, and was able to kneel before the window facing Jerusalem amid circumstances in which he could be thrown into a lion's den. God made Daniel's life and faith a stepping stone and signpost to enable the Jews to return to their home country after they lived as war prisoners in Babylonia for several decades. Jesus made a resolution to obey God's will by setting his face toward Jerusalem, to go the way he had to go, a way of suffering, death on the cross, resurrection and ascension. However, there are people who said they would follow Jesus for their own satisfaction. A person who said he would follow Jesus after burying his father, but thought that he could stand out only with things that can be seen, such as inheritance. And there was a person who said he would follow Jesus only after saying goodbye to his family. All of these people did not fix their faces toward God, but towards themselves and their worldly desires. So they couldn't become Jesus' disciples. Father God, thank you for planting the 100th anniversary Memorial Church at Yanghwajin with all your heart and sincerity 13 years ago, and for enabling the church to succeed the faith of our forefathers of faith and make a road for the future of churches in Korea. Marking the 13th birthday of our church, we make a resolution to fix our attention toward God. Allow the collective ministry serving as lower branches and establishing the church according to the Articles of Association serve as stepping stones and signposts for churches in Korea to go towards an upright future. Make the churches in Korea new through the 100th anniversary Memorial Church and its congregation who make this resolution, and let there be hope. Let our church serve as the hands and feet of God and serve as makers of roads for God's work. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.